This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition with Uma, Ezra, and joining us in the studio, Richard Bradbury, because you know, it's that time of month again, music
what time
fans.
Is it? What time is it?
For Chirita Chirita Rock and Roll.
Oh, Chirita Chirita Rock and Roll and Ramadan. I mean, this is a lot to handle.
It is a lot to handle. You know, we've been doing Chirita Chirita Rock and Roll for about 5 months now, and we realized that we haven't actually covered any female recording artists.
That's true. We've covered, I guess, male artists. I mean, George Harrison, Stevie Wonder, Bob Marley.
And so Simon and Garfunkel. But,
that's
you know,
true.
No female recording artists. And who better to start with than someone who actually, you know, changed the game? Because a real rock legend changes the game. And Stevie Nicks, ladies and gentlemen.
And this is just a bit of a disclaimer for people who tune in to Chirita Chirita Rock and Roll. Chirita Chirita Rock and Roll doesn't mean that the artist that we're speaking of has passed away. There's been a lot of like tweets
yes.
and Facebook posts saying, every time I heard you guys were talking about Stevie Wonder, therefore he must have been, you know.
Did he die?
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see those tweets.
Yeah, so.
It's not a tribute.
There's not a tribute. But this is just, you know, an amazing woman with a bit of a colorful history.
Yeah.
Not only.
No kidding.
Not only for her solo career, but with Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I mean, when we first decided to do this as well, it really took me back to my childhood, because I swear during like the 80s, my mother wanted to be Stevie Nicks. She'd got that haircut, she'd got the voice, she smoked like her, she drank like her, she listened to everything that they'd ever done, you know. And it was just one of those things where I walk out and I see my mum wearing all this kind of flowery, parry,
right?
You know, outfits. And yeah, it's good stuff. I love Stevie Nicks. I grew up listening to Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac.
And the reason for me, at least for Stevie Nicks, is actually her voice. I mean, prior to, you know, growing up, you're listening to all these artists like Sheryl Crow and Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
And, you know, prior to, you know, going to your teens and your early 20s where you're experimenting with things like Janis Joplin and stuff, suddenly Stevie Nicks comes out of left center.
Yeah.
And her sort of vocal tonality stands out amongst the rest.
It's incredibly unique. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because there's somebody in our office who very recently discovered Fleetwood Mac, you know, and he's in his 30s already, and he's like, wow, didn't
we can say it, Ali Johan.
Ali Johan, yeah. Ali Johan discovered Fleetwood Mac very recently.
The music man himself.
And he was like, wow, he's a good.
Yeah.
What are these, right? Yeah. No, and you know what's interesting? I mean, Stevie Nicks as well didn't just, I guess, influence or change the past for women in music. I think she changed the past for what kind of things you could do in a rock song as a singer-songwriter. Because if you read her lyrics, there are two Stevie Nicks, right? There's the Stevie Nicks that talks about men and women in relationship, but then there's the Stevie Nicks that writes rock songs about witches and fairies.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and it's not something you hear every day in a rock song.
And actually, I think there's a story about how her mom would actually sort of, read, you know, bedtime stories. And she was very much influenced by this world of fairy tales as she was growing up.
Mm.
And of course, that translates into her music, but also her on-stage performances.
But that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
When she first started performing, she didn't have all of this, you know, stage performance.
Yeah.
It was very straight-up rock and roll singer-songwriter kind of stuff. And it wasn't until she kind of hooked up with some... she found a designer who basically said, right, Stevie, you've got this amazing voice, you've got this amazing history, maybe you should start wearing my clothes. So Stevie was like, ah, not only that, create me these big flowing outfits and we'll have this whole stage show going off.
That's right. She influenced Courtney Love, the Dixie Chicks, Tori Amos, Sheryl Crow, Mary J. Blige. I mean, the list goes on. Before we get into, I guess, one of her big partnerships, we've got a little clip of Stevie talking about how she got started in music.
The day I got my Goya guitar, I wrote a song on my 16th birthday.
Oh, you can be that specific.
Yeah, I didn't even sing you the song, but I'm not going to.
It was that good, huh?
Well, yeah. It had potential. It had a really good melody. The words were incredibly, incredibly trite, but I was in love. And, you know, so it was just totally stupid. I've loved and I've lost, and I'm sad but not blue, sort of ridiculous. But it was pretty. And, I actually sat and played it for my friend Robin, and she said, potential. This could be happening. And so I said that from that moment onward, I just was, you know, had the guitar under one arm all the time.
Guitar under the arm all the time.
All the time.
Stevie Nicks talking about, writing music. And,
yeah.
You know, as she enters, is it high school or teenage years, where she meets, a fellow collaborator, Plus Plus, for many, many decades thereafter.
Plus, indeed. I think you kind of nailed it on the head there.
Lindsay Buckingham.
Lindsay Buckingham, yeah. I mean, we've got to talk first, before we move on to that, about how, you know, she's produced over, you know, 40 top 50 hits, sold over 140 million albums, reigning queen of rock and roll, guys.
She's never won a Grammy, though, as a solo artist.
As a solo artist, no.
That
no,
is
she
quite
hasn't.
She has got 8 nominations, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something.
That's okay.
Well, I think that's more reflective of the Grammys than reflective of Stevie.
Right, yeah. And, of course, she got another 5 nominations as Fleetwood Mac, as part of Fleetwood Mac as well, right? Born in 1948, Phoenix, Arizona. She actually has music in the blood, right? Mm. She was the granddaughter of a country singer.
Yeah, a frustrated country singer at that. Didn't really get very far. Didn't release any albums. It turns out her mother and father actually ran like a tavern over in Phoenix. And there was periods when her grandfather would come into this tavern and play music to, I presume, an unruly crowd over there. But, you know, nobody really kind of appreciated what he was doing. But, right. You know. But moving forward to, like you said, to when she hooked up with Mr. Lindsey Buckingham.
More ways than one.
In more ways
easy,
than one.
Easy,
they formed
easy.
They formed a band called Fritz.
That's right.
Yeah, what a name.
I know.
Fritz.
And there was a couple of other fellas in the band, Javier Pacheco and Calvin Roper. So between 1968 and 71, you know, they became really popular on the West Coast music scene, supporting Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, all that kind of stuff.
But in terms of style and culture, you know, in the West Coast, you're trying to think of that whole area. You think of San Francisco and California, like all these bands and the whole vibe that was, I guess, permeating throughout that area. I mean, it must have sort of rubbed off on each other. And in fact, later on, they end up opening for each other. There's a lot of collaborations that takes place between some of these great artists of the era.
That's right. And we're going to talk about some of the nastiness that took place between these two and many of her other bandmates as well. Right after this, we're talking about Stevie Nicks on Treetha Treetha Rock and Roll, only on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the Evening Edition with Uma Ezra and Richard Bradbury. We're talking Treetha Treetha Rock and Roll today, the legendary queen of rock and roll, Stevie Nicks, of Stevie Nicks and also of Fleetwood Mac.
I must admit, you know, when I first came across the name Stevie Nicks, I was expecting
a dude,
a male artist. And of course, I find out her name's Stephanie, which is really nice and sweet. But I think she had trouble pronouncing her name, and then it became TD or something like
really?
That. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was pronounced TD, and then, of course, it went on to be called Stevie.
Ah.
So that sort of solved a big conundrum for a large part of my life.
Very nice. So, of course, you know, we were talking earlier about how she formed a band called Fritz with Lindsey Buckingham, right? Mm. Her fellow lover and musical companion. Now, the amount of attention that was being paid by fans to Stevie's allure, because she is very alluring, kind of created some tension. We've heard this story many, many times in rock and roll. It led to kind of Fritz being disbanded. Buckingham, of course, remained her partner, but of course, you know, then became her lover as well.
Mm. Right.
And that, of course, did that extend into Fleetwood Mac as well?
Yes, basically when they met, when they were together, Fleetwood Mac kind of approached them after Buckingham Nicks. The album was called Buckingham Nicks, right? So they continued to write and record as a duo, and they produced some demo tapes at a coffee plant that was owned by Buckingham's father, Morris. And of course, it took a long time. It took a while, I think. Did it not take a while before they actually had a record deal from Polydor?
It was pretty quick.
It was pretty quick.
Polydor kind of swooped in, used the tracks from the demo tape to make the album, you know, Buckingham Nicks. That was 1973.
But you can't find that album because I think it was rubbish.
Deleted.
Okay.
It's been deleted, yeah.
There we go.
I mean, it was far from a commercial success. You know, they'd gone out, they'd done a whole bunch of live shows to support that particular album, but Polydor at the end just basically said, you know, it's just not good enough, we can't carry it, it's not selling. Even, I mean, if you listen to the tracks on that album, it's superb.
So to support herself and Buckingham, who was writing music whilst recovering from an illness, she worked a variety of jobs, and this included waiting tables and a stint at cleaning Keith Olsen's house. Keith Olsen, who of course was the engineer and producer, and of course Stevie Nicks and Buckingham lived there for some time.
That's right. This is a clip of Stevie Nicks talking about what it was like working outside of music.
I never wanted to do anything else. I knew at some point, if we didn't make some money, that I was going to have to do something. But it was like I would have always had my music anyway. So that was, you know, that was never a question. It was just whether or not I could pay my rent and Lindsay's rent.
Was Lindsay thinking along the same lines at the time that
well,
he
Lindsay
could pay
was
his
practicing
rent?
His guitar.
I see.
And you know, and I was trying to figure out how to make Hamburger Helper different.
Did you come up with anything?
After he put my electric skillet on the gas stove. And cooked the Hamburger Helper in the electric skillet, which meant we had no more electric skillet, which meant we had no more Hamburger Helper. on my life, you know, it was very strange then because I really was, you know, I was just living in a world of all these guys. And I, you know, was really not relating too well to any of them because I was working and they were all practicing their guitar. And I was stepping over them, you know, excuse me. So it was, you know, it was a, I was a whole different kind of person. I had to be, I was the mom, I was the camp director, Cub Scouts.
Stevie Nicks on Life Outside of Music. We're going to give you a taste now of what Buckingham Nicks sounded like sans Fleetwood Mac. This is Frozen Love, Buckingham Nicks, on the Evening Edition, Treater Treater Rock and Roll, BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Uma Phagan Ambike Phagan.
And I'm Ezra Zide.
And in the studio with us today, Richard Bradbury, because it's that time of month again for Treater Treater Rock and Roll.
Hello, hello.
The legendary Stevie Nicks is who we're, what do you say, extracting.
Careful. And right. So we're focusing on Stevie Nicks, and we've done, we've given some idea about her period of life prior to Fleetwood Mac. And I guess at this point in time, she's just about to sort of get that phone call from Mick Fleetwood and sort of say, hey, do you guys want to... know, hook up and jam and do that sort of thing.
It's a really interesting story. You know, the album flopped, but the one thing that kind of saved them was the track that we just played, Frozen Love. It was thanks to the producer Mick Olson. You know, he was at the studio, Sound City in California, in fact. And Mick Fleetwood, the drummer from Fleetwood Mac, came in and he played him this particular track. And Mick Fleetwood was like, "Who the heck is that on guitar?" You know, and so he
That's
said,
right.
it's Lindsey Buckingham. And he went, well, okay, I'd like to hire him. My guitar player has left. It'd be nice to have a guitar player of that caliber. And so, you know, called him up, got him over, and he said, I'd like to offer you a job in Fleetwood Mac. And he kind of went, well, I'll take the job, but, you know, you've got to bring Stevie as well. She's part of the package.
Yeah, I don't do anything without my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which is very, very cool. Now, Stevie Nicks has a very interesting point to that. When they were being wooed by Fleetwood Mac, they were actually, I think they were playing in Birmingham, Alabama, and apparently Lindsey Buckingham wasn't all that excited. And apparently it was her who went to Tower Records and spent every money they had buying Fleetwood Mac albums. And she sat by herself listening to it because Lindsey Buckingham just couldn't be bothered to listen to anything, right? And then finally, when they went through, I think there were about 6 to 7 albums. And when she went through all of that, she realized that, you know, Peter Green, the genre of Peter Green, this bluegrassy kind of style was something Lindsey Buckingham could do really, really well. Mm. And her quote is, and this is great, and she says, we need to go, and she told Buckingham, we need to go meet these people because it's a great band, Lindsey. They have a great rhythm section. Christine's an amazing Hammond organ player. And you know what? We are starving to death, and I have 2 waitress jobs and a cleaning lady job, and I'm really tired of being super, super poor. I am tired of it. So we need to go. We need to meet these people and then make a decision. And you need to be like nice.
I mean, she took that situation by the scruff of the neck, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is really quite amazing, simply because, you know, when you think about, well, I mean, at least I do. At least when I think about Fleetwood Mac, you know, that juxtaposition of Fleetwood Mac with Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, because they've got 7 odd albums prior to them joining.
Exactly,
right? So
right?
There's quite a bit of a catalog, and you almost could split that whole era into 2 particular categories.
And they changed the sound.
Yeah,
they
totally.
Changed the sound. Well, as soon as these 2 joined, they changed the sound of Fleetwood Mac. And there's one thing that, you know, you mentioned her tonality, but there's something she does with melodies and the way her voice harmonizes with Christine's.
Absolutely.
Whew, when you listen to Rumors, right? It's just...
Well, I mean, Rumors is, you know, I guess, I mean, I think they released 1 album, which was self-titled, Fleetwood Mac, when they first joined.
Yeah.
And it did pretty well, but
it
of course, after that,
good.
That's when we start talking about Rumors.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you go back to Fleetwood Mac, the track Rhiannon, or Rhiannon, however you want to pronounce
it. Yeah.
You know, it was one of those tracks that Mick Fleetwood actually said, when she performed that on stage, it was like an exorcism.
Mm.
There was so much theatrics behind the song. You know, it was just incredible, just enormous, groundbreaking performances, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, and of course, you know, when they start, I guess, trying to craft their sound, you know, what comes out after in Rumors is this mega album, is this, you know, song pound for pound. There is nothing that's gone amiss with this particular album.
No, everything is great in that album. Dreams, Goldust Woman, a lot of songs remade terribly by The Cause.
Oh, yeah. Oh no.
Let's not go there.
Who yeah, just can't harmonize that. For Jack. And it's just.
But
yeah,
they are pretty.
But they sure are pretty.
But you talk about the harmonies.
Even the fella.
You talk about the harmonies, you know, between Christine and Stevie Nicks. I mean, the Jimmy Iovine, the producer who Stevie Nicks eventually works with later in her solo career, he describes, you know, the harmonies that Stevie can hit, you know, comparable to the Everly Brothers, mm-hmm. comparable to some of the top artists of the time, simply because she would find artists like Tom Petty, for example, and hit a harmony, and it would just lock in, and it would be so unique because of her voice and her tonality and all her other things.
It's funny you should say the Everly Brothers, actually, because Lindsay was working with the Everly Brothers before they joined Fleetwood Mac. But, you know, we're talking about tensions and one thing or another and harmonizing. There was disharmony happening in that band.
Very nice transition.
Yeah, you see what I did there? Mm. See, there's this tension between Stevie and Lindsay, and it really did begin to take a toll, you know, on their kind of creativity and their relationship. And when they released Dreams, that was the only Billboard number one hit single they've ever had.
And of course, I think there was a lot of tension in the making of that album between some of the band members, right?
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, and also, but you know, this tension was their breakup was detailed in Dreams.
Yeah.
So I mean, the breakup of Buckingham and Nicks ended up with a great song.
Yeah.
Which we're going to play for you right now, because that's just how we roll. Here's Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. This is Treater Treater Rock and Roll, chronicling the life and times and tribulations of Stevie Nicks, only on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition with Uma Ezra and Richard Bradbury. It is that time of month again when we are talking Treater Treater Rock and Roll. This month, the life of Stevie Nicks, rock goddess. You know, she has had a pretty checkered life as well. I mean, she had a huge cocaine period, we'll call that inverted commas, 10 years while she was working with Fleetwood Mac.
And chemical then dependency problem, you could have called it.
That's right, sorry. Yeah. The big cocaine issue is what I like to call it.
And I think she did tranquilizers as well.
She did. She went through a tranquilizer phase.
Rock and roll back in the 70s was a different animal, you see.
Yeah, it clearly. Was, what, Clonopin, I think? It was a prescription tranquilizer, which she became addicted to in the 80s and 90s. Mm. And then, of course, you know, not just that. I mean, she had affairs with Mick Fleetwood as well. That inspired the song Beauty and the Beast. And you know, there's a song called Secret Love, which is on her solo album, her last solo album, right? And in an interview, they asked, you know, she said, this is the ode to the rock star. Only she couldn't remember which one.
Oh.
So it was, you know, is it Lindsey Buckingham? Is it Mick Jagger? Is it Don Henley? Is it his bandmate Joe Walsh?
She also had a little short stint with Jimmy Iovine, the producer.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, these are, you know, in the greater context of this, if you can separate these emotional and physical relationships, whoa, rock and roll company that you have all... I was going to say
rock
all
and roll.
Over you, but, you know...
No, can I just say, I mean, you know, she, like, she shakes it. The quote, she's, I'm not sure who I wrote it about. I wrote it in 1976. It's so old, I honestly cannot remember it. In 1975, 76, we were beautiful, fast, sexy. Love was everywhere, and we were moving from person to person. That's it. Love was around every corner. I mean, the history of modern rock essentially went through her vagina.
You know, I don't know if that would be the best analogy, but
Stevie Nicks, what a gal.
She's a terrific musician, and you know, I just don't know where to take it from there. I think
no, okay, let's talk about a solo career, right? Because
I'm just a little bit lost for words at the moment, you know.
A lot of the times though, when aging rock stars break away from a epic group, right, like Fleetwood Mac, their careers don't do very well. Art Garfunkel comes to mind.
But Stevie has tried to juggle it at some point in time, right? At least upon the release of her first solo album, she had at least attempted to be quite straightforward with Mick and saying, you know, this is what we want to do. And of course, the band was actually a bit concerned. It's like, you know, if the album flops, you know, that looks bad on Fleetwood Mac. But if the album does well, that's
then maybe she won't
bad.
Come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there was this whole period, though, where many members of Fleetwood Mac were going off and doing their own little bits and recording. You know, Stevie obviously was the most successful. And it's back in 78 because she'd got all of these tracks left over from the stuff that she was doing with Buckingham.
That's right.
That she could actually release her first solo album in 81, which was called Belladonna.
Which is, I'm sorry, it's a perfect album. It's so good. Every track on that album belongs in its place, right? It's such a well-crafted first solo album.
Mm. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, this is, I guess, reflective of, I guess, her music, her influence. You know, I mean, I have a sort of younger cousins who are, you know, are big fans of pop music, for example. And, you know, they heard me playing Age of 17 in my radio. And they go, oh, that's the Beyoncé song, or that's the Destiny's Child song. Because Beyoncé sample, or I think Destiny's Child samples Age of 17, that guitar riff in the beginning, as part of Bootylicious.
Did you play the uncle and go, no!
No!
It's Stevie Nicks!
It's Stevie Nicks. And yeah, it's just, you know, really quite amazing in terms of the influence that she has, even on current indie pop female artists right now.
So on that album, she teams up with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Don Henley, a whole bunch of other artists. Uma, will you stop it?
Stop it.
And she released her second solo effort, The Wild Heart, with the track Stand Back. That was led on to Rock a Little, which later became the solo album in 1985, featuring Talk to Me.
Yeah, you know what? And all of it is very symbolic of her strength as a songwriter. Mm. So in Fleetwood Mac as well, I think Christine wrote a lot of the songs and a lot of the harmonies and so on and so forth. But, you know, Stevie Nicks' skills and talents came out in her solo career. And it goes back to this idea of, if you're good, you're good, right? And she was that good. However, you know, when researching all this and just reading about her life and stuff, you got to wonder, and I guess we've asked this question when we're talking about other geniuses and legends, rock stars and so on and so forth. Does it take this kind of brokenness to become, to write a great song, right? Look at Dreams. Look at, you know, it stems from the heartbreak of Lindsey Buckingham. I mean, it stems from 20 years of chemical abuse. I mean...
But you've seen that in other bands. I mean, you think about, I guess, a tense... songwriting duos, you know, Lennon and McCartney, for example.
Exactly.
And I think that's just very much at the heart of, I guess, rock and roll history. But sometimes you have tense relationships and there's just no creativity that comes from it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got it with Simon and Garfunkel.
You're friends as well. You're trying to make music. You're getting annoyed at one another. You know, you're saying, why aren't you as good as you used to be? Why are you not as creative as you used to be? And you're right. It does lead to problems. And it did lead to problems. She ended up going on a big, long hiatus where she was treated for her substance abuse eventually. You know, finally managed to get it in check. And any interview you hear of her around that period, you can tell that there's issues.
Yeah.
You know, it's clear. That and the very fact that she sounds a little bit like this, you know, is very,
very nice,
you know, indicative. Rich. Thank you very much.
And so here's from the horse's mouth, Stevie Nicks on leaving Fleetwood Mac and her solo career.
They took care of me at Fleetwood Mac. You know, I mean, they took care of everything. And I was a spoiled, rotten princess. And now... I don't feel like a princess anymore. I feel like a hard-working princess, you know, because I am called upon now to do a lot more that I never really thought I wanted to do. I never really wanted to be a solo artist, you know. I never wanted to go up there and stand and sing 20 songs alone. So that's why I have singers, and that's why I have surrounded myself with what I think is a potential great band. A band, not, this is not backup musicians anymore. This is not backup singers, this is a band, and that's what I want. Because I loved being in Fleetwood Mac because it was a band.
Yeah, Stevie Nicks and what it was like leaving Fleetwood Mac. I mean, that's trial by fire, isn't it? It's like you're suddenly on your own, you've got to do all of this stuff, and you've got to actually do all of that work on keeping a band together and managing egos and whatever that comes with that.
Yeah, but that sort of, you know, it happens, right? These departures from bands, because eventually Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac, it comes back together, doesn't it?
It does.
And it comes back in many, many reincarnations.
It does. 97, she rejoined with them, did the album and a tour, The Dance.
Mm.
And in 1998, she ended up being inducted alongside the Fleetwood Mac bandmates into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Same year that her 3-disc Enchanted box set landed in the stores.
That's right. She returned to studio 2001 with a great compilation album, Macy Gray, Sarah McLachlan,
Sheryl Crow,
Dixie Chicks. Just lots of stuff. I mean, but that's the great thing. It's always fun when you listen to these people who are inspired by Stevie Nicks come back and do a little thing with Stevie Nicks. Oh.
And of course now Fleetwood Mac, I guess when they tour, you know, I think they take 2 or 3 year breaks from each other. And they true story. And they start up again and everybody's happier because it works now. And I think they're more comfortable in their success. And I guess they've done the hard yards, the rite of passage of the ridiculous things that one goes through in achieving success, especially in rock music, paid off.
More recently, though, she's touring with Dave Grohl. The Sound City
Sound
Players.
City, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So she was featured in the Sound City movie, which Dave Grohl made. Mm. And then he put together the ultimate super group with like Paul McCartney and everyone.
That was ridiculous.
It was
fantastic.
Stupid.
But even in the interviews during that, you know, she's typical. Typical Stevie Nicks, you know, she's a little bit arrogant, but she's—I love that about her. You know, she's like a rock and roll queen. It's right.
And she is.
Yeah.
We've got a great one coming up by Stevie Nicks in a second, but first, just to remind you, right after the news, it's BFM Bootlegs. 1 hour.
Featuring who, I guess?
Stevie Nicks.
Oh.
Live in concert, something we put together just for you on
Sweet.
Your drive home this Friday night. But first, Stevie Nicks, Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Featuring Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
BFM. Oh. Go on, Ezra.
I was just going to say, I think Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks will sound a little bit better than just that impersonation. Just a little bit.
That is true. This is Truth or Truth or Rock and Roll on the Evening Edition, VFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.